The Yeshiva Gedol of Johannesburg proudly presents the Wednesday evening shiur, covering the Parashas HaShavua, the Yomim Tovim, and other special topics as delivered by its founder and Rosh HaYeshiva, Rabbi Israel Chaim Goldfein, Zichrono Livrocha. Details regarding how to order additional shiurim follow immediately after the conclusion of the shiur.
On Friday night and on Shabbos, I spoke in the shiurim about the Mishnah, the Meseles, which is on Perek Vav, Mishnah Zayin, that states, "Kedei leteri yesa min hakuna min hamalchus." The Torah is greater than kahuna, than priesthood, and in malchus, than in kingship. In order to acquire Torah, one needs memches dvorim, teriniknes be memches dvorim, 48 attributes. And mentioned, we will have been learning this Mishnah, and we went through the first 10 attributes. This evening, I would like to go through the second 10 attributes, the second 10 qualities that a person needs. Now, incidentally, I've given shurim on this in the past, and one of the shurim I've given was Parshas Pekudei, Tovshin Mem Tes, 1989, and that was a shir on the first 10, my list, first 10 attributes, and that's in our tape library. So anyone who wants to hear that shir can get that on tape. Many think that to acquire the crown of Torah, one needs to simply have a good head, a good mind, and sit down and learn. And this might be with shar chokhmos, with other wisdoms. You want to be a mathematician, if you have the right skills and aptitude, you can become one. You can become a doctor, you can become a scientist, you can become a musician, if you have the proper skills and talents. But not so with Torah. Torah, which is given from HaKadosh Baruch Hu and comes from another world, to become great in Torah, to acquire Torah, you need many skills. And ironically, one of the skills mentioned is not a good head. You need 48 abilities, 48 talents, or 48 disciplines in order to acquire Torah. This is what the Mishnah, the rabbis teach us. What are those 48? I'm just going to read off the first 10, and then we'll go into the second 10 and go somewhat into depth. The first 10 is B'Talmud. One has to study. Incidentally, the majority of what I'm saying this evening will be from the Pirish, the commentary of the Maral Miprag, on Mesech Dovish. Talmud, he learns, means to learn from a Rebbe. Shmiya Sa'ezen, you have to be a good listener, to teach yourself how to listen. Arichos Fasayim, when you learn, you must not learn quietly, but you must enunciate and pronounce the words, even if you're learning by yourself. Binas Halev, you must attempt to understand whatever you learn. Eimor v'yira, a person must have a great respect and fear and awe from the Torah, from the Rebbe, from the Almighty that has given it. Anova, humility. Simcha, you must be happy and full of joy. B'shimush chachomim, he must not only learn from his Rebbe, but he must build a close association and serve his Rebbe, be close to him so he can learn from him, from his actual acts. Divuch Haverim, Torah must be learned together with others, either with a group or at least one other person, a chavrusa. These are the first 10. Now we'll go on to the second 10. Pilpul HaTalmidim. Pilpul HaTalmidim means that a person, if he wants to become great in Torah, he has to have Talmidim, disciples. Now, this is something which seems rather strange. If you want to become great in Torah, you have to study. Why do you have to teach? And it states Pilpul HaTalmidim. Pilpul HaTalmidim is the debate, the arguments, the questions that young Talmidim put forth to the Rebbe. Why is this necessary? The Gemara brings in Masechta Tainus and Avov excuse me, on Daf Zayin. The Gemara says, "Nim shel divrei Torah ke'etz." Torah is like a tree. Shnemar Yitzchayim hilemach hizikim bo. As it states, that it's a tree of life to those who support it. Leimaloch, my etz cotton madlikas hagodl, just like a small tree, a small piece of wood, a twig, ignites a large piece of wood. If you want to start a fire, you have heavy logs. You won't be successful in igniting the heavy logs. You have to start the fire with small twigs, and then they ignite the heavy log. So is it with young Talmidim. Young Talmidim bring wisdom to the Rebbe. The Rebbe is like the big log, and the young disciples are like the twigs. And in order for a fire to burn by the Rebbe, he has to have small twigs to ignite him. This is one of the reasons why the Torah is called an eitz. It's called a tree. And this is what Reb Chanina said. I learned much Torah from my rabbis. And I learned even more Torah from my colleagues. But the most Torah I learned was from my disciples. This is something. The most Torah that a person can learn from is not his Rebbe. You have to have a Rebbe. Not his Chaverim. You must have Chaverim also, but from your disciples, from your students. And that's why Torah is called an eitz, a piece of wood. Now, why is this? The Maral explains we usually look at difficulties, things that we don't understand, questions, as something that is not desirable. Actually, in the pursuit of wisdom, it is very desirable. It's like we say that problems lead to discoveries. If we didn't have problems, we wouldn't have new discoveries. And so is it in the pursuit of wisdom. If there are no questions, and there are no problems, then you don't come to higher levels of discoveries. Questions and difficulties come from a lack of good understanding. A person who has doubts, he doesn't have clarity. From this comes your debate and your discussion. And this is what is known all the time as pilpul. Pilpul means the argument, the debate, the discussion. The Rebbe, the great Talmud Chacham, because of his great wisdom, he has clarity. Everything is simple to him. Doesn't have problems. Because of that, he cannot go further. Okay? Cannot go further. But when he has Talmidim, and they're full of problems, because they have all kind of doubts, difficulties, so they start to bring questions, and they start to discuss and debate. So now, to the Rebbe, this opens up new channels, new areas of wisdom, new dimensions. Just like you have the big log, and the fire can't catch hold there. But when you have a little twigs, and there's a fire, there the fire can catch hold, and that will ignite the big log. So therefore, the pilpul ha-talmidim is a prerequisite. This is imperative. And this brings chokhmah and chidud. This brings wisdom and sharpness to the Rebbe. There was a great gaon by the name of Reb Tzadok HaKohen Milublin, where he asks the question, we have a principle that whatever we find in the spiritual world is always found, it's also found in the physical world, a parallel. He says, this seems to be a phenomenon. The Rebbe teaches Torah. So he's giving away Torah. And by giving away Torah, he ends up with more than he had before. Because it says, from my teaching, I receive more Torah than from my Rebbe's and my Chaverim. When he learned from his Rebbe and he learned from his Chaverim, he received Torah. When you teach Torah, you're giving it away. And you end up with more. Where do we have that parallel? In the physical world. He says, we definitely do. Because when a child comes to drink milk from the mother's breast, the child is taking milk. The more milk the child takes, the more milk the mother will have to give, the more is produced. And so is it with Torah. If there's no one to take Torah from him, then more Torah is not produced. The more that's taken from him, the more is produced. So therefore, Pilpul HaTalmidim is a necessity. The next attribute that's mentioned is Yishuv. Yishuv means relaxation. When a person learns, he must be relaxed. He must be settled. He cannot be under duress. He cannot be under pressure. He cannot be nervous or emotionally upset or angry. He must be settled and relaxed. In a Torah nikne elamitech yishuv, the Gemara says. Torah goes in only when a person is relaxed. This is true by many things, but in particular by Torah. There's a Gemara in Erevin, on Samachay Omer Aleph, Omer of Nachman, Shmaitzet Srichot Slusa, Kiyume de Istama. He says that in order for a person really to understand a good piece of Gemara, then he needs a clear head like a day when the north wind blows. Gemara says when the north wind is the clearest, when it brings the clarity of the air and the sun. And that's a crystal clear day. He says that's how a person's head has to be if he's going to want to understand the Gemara. And anybody who learns knows that. He knows that there are many things you can do even though your head is not crystal clear. But when it comes to learning Gemara with Rashi and Tosfos, it has to be crystal clear. Why? Because Limei Pasuah. When a person's mind is clear, when he's settled, then his heart is open and wisdom can go in. There's another Gemara in Shabbos. The Vein Zayin Amud Beis Rav Abba Ada Eshkach Lebiuda Dahava Koya Pisco de Bechamoy Bechazisei Dahava Bidicho Daite. Rav Abba came and he saw one of the great Talmid HaChomim who was standing. He was standing near the house of his father-in-law, and he saw that he was in a very good, relaxed mood. So he said, "Iboy minei kol chalod d'alma havomali." So he said, "This was a good time to ask him all of his questions." So he was in a good, relaxed mood. He knew he would be able to answer anything that he asked him. So therefore, it's very important when a person learns. He has to remove from himself all of his problems and all of his pressures, and he has to relax himself and concentrate on what he's doing, and then he'll have success. But if he's under duress, if he's under pressure, then he won't understand what he's learning. This is very important. The Vilna Gaon wrote a letter to his household when he was planning on going to Eretz Yisrael. His trip was aborted, but he was planning on going to Eretz Yisrael and then settle and bring his family over. So he wrote them a letter of instruction. So he said, whenever you teach the children, must always teach the children, but don't force them to learn. Because if you force them to learn, it won't go in. Because learning can only be if a person is relaxed, is happy. So what should you do then? He says, offer them gifts. Tell them if you'll learn, you'll give them some money, you'll give them some sweets, you'll give them something else. So they want to learn. If they want to learn, then they'll be able to learn. But to force someone to learn, it will be to no avail. Therefore, a very great discipline in learning is Yishuv. The person, when he sits down, he must be relaxed. This is why in yeshivas it's very important. The yeshiva, which is the heart of the learning, the one of the tells of Rosh Yeshivas, Rav Chaim Shtein, used to say that just like in the life of Klal Yisrael, in the history of Klal Yisrael, there was a period of time when the whole nation freed themselves from worldly pursuits and concentrated on learning Torah. And that was the 40 years in the desert. 40 years in the desert, they didn't have to worry about worldly pursuits. Everything was done for them. And they concentrated on Torah. So, is there a time in everyone's lifetime when he also should have a certain period of time like that, when he can be free basically from worldly pursuits and concentrate on Torah? And just like through that Torah became part of the nation, so does this way Torah becomes part of an individual. And this is in his young days when he's able to spend a few years in a yeshiva. So that's why it's so important that in a yeshiva there must not be all types of pressures or confusion coming through the yeshiva. But it has to be a place where a person can concentrate on learning without external pressures. That's why generally on all of the great yeshivas, the Rosh Yeshivas were always very careful, see, to see that all of the churning and the turmoil and all of the frictions and machlekes, arguments and everything else that exists outside of yeshiva must not enter into the yeshiva. Because yeshiva is a place for kinyan ha-Torah. Ve'ein ha-Torah nikneh lemitei yeshuv. Torah can come only if a person can concentrate with total relaxation on what he's learning. So this is very important. Now we come to the next two, Mikra and Mishnah. States a person must learn Mikra. Mikra is Teira Shebiksav, that's Teira Nevi'im and Ksuvim. And Mishnah. Mishnah is the what is known as the Mishnah. That's all of the basic, that's the Teirish Baal Peh, the oral law. It's all of the basic principles of the Torah, which was organized under the supervision of the great Rabbi Yehuda Anossi. Everything in its proper place. And then there's the Talmud. The Talmud is the pilpul, is the discussion, see, to clarify the laws of the Mishnah. But here it states Mikra and Mishnah. Now what is it telling us? Mishnah is telling us this, that even though the main crown of Torah comes from Talmud, guess the Torah, this is the Rambam writes, see, the main crown of Torah comes from knowing and understanding the Talmud, but still a person cannot acquire the crown of Torah without Mikra Mishnah. You must know Mikra, written law, Chumash, Nachim, Ksuvim, and he must know Mishnah. And he must be Boki, expert on this. So this means if someone is great in the Talmud, but he doesn't know Mikra Mishnah, he will be lacking in this acquisition of Torah, this Kinyan Torah. Why is this? And the reason for this is simple. Teirish B'Ksav, the written law, this is the foundation of the oral law. So how can one become great in the oral law without knowing the written law? It's like trying to build a building without a foundation. It will collapse. And that's why it states that first a child must learn Mikra, ben Chomesh Mikra. First he must learn Mikra. The Gon writes in his letter to his household, he says, first you must teach the children Chumash many, many times till they know Kemat Kula Balpeh. Until they know almost the entire Chumash by heart. That's how many times you must go over and over. He says, that comes first. How is it possible to become great in Teirish Balpeh? In the oral law, which expounds, which is the elaboration of the written law, if one doesn't know the written law. So therefore, Chumash comes first. The Mishnah is the foundation of the Talmud. The Mishnah is each halacha, each law, concisely and clearly put in its proper place. And the Talmud is the pilpul, the debate, to understand it. So how is it possible to debate and to discuss something with someone that someone doesn't know? Therefore he has to know Mishnah before he can come to Talmud. And that's why it states Ben Esher le Mishnah. When he's 10, he's supposed to learn Mishnah, and then when he's 15, then he learns Talmud. See, unfortunately today we have so many of us start learning at later times, so it's very difficult to learn properly. But this is the proper way that a person is supposed to learn. And there were many of the great Gaonim and the Maharals included, that even in their times, that they chastised, they gave rebuke to the people in their generation, and this goes back many hundred years ago, that they were forsaking the Limud HaMishnah. They were setting aside the study of the Mishnah, and you would ask, how can anybody be great in Torah without Limud HaMishnah? He writes in general, he says that the Chumash, this represents Chochmah. This represents what we call Chochmah. And the Mishnah, he says, represents Das. Why Das? Gemara says Das is Lehavdil bein dover ledover, to distinguish, to separate between one thing and another. Like it states, the Gemara says, why do we make the brocha of Atachainin la'odam Das, of the brocha of Havdolo? In the brocha of Atachainin la'odam Das, and Mitzvah Shabbos, Saturday night, when we daven Marav in Shemayin Esre, because im ein Das, Havdolo minayin. Because a person needs Das, he needs what we call Das, it's a type of intelligence, in order to distinguish between one thing and another. He says, the Mishnah is Das. Why? There, everything is distinguished. There, Rabbi Yehuda Nosi, with all of the Tanoim before him and with him, took the whole oral law, and they distinguished everything, one from the other. Placed everything in its proper order. So this is Das. And the Pilpul HaTalmud, that's Bina. Bina, the Gemara says, is Lehetzi Dover Miteich Dover. That's already to expound, to analyze and to expound. So we see that first the person must have the information, and then he must have everything in its proper place, and then he can go to expound. So therefore the Tana here is telling us that to become great in Torah, you must be great in Mikro and Mishnah also. The next Milo is Derech Eretz. Derech Eretz refers here to the Midas Teves, to the good traits of quality of, excuse me, to the good traits and qualities of character and of personality. Why is this necessary to acquire Torah? One would say Torah has to do with wisdom. What does it have to do with personality and character traits? Torah encompasses the total person. Person wants to become great in Torah, he's going to have to become a great individual. And a person without Derech Eretz is not a great individual. Many times you find that people will say he knows a lot of Torah, but he can't get along with people. This is a person without Derech Eretz. And our Chazal tell us, im ein Derech Eretz, ein Torah. Simple. A person can become very wise in Torah, but if he lacks Derech Eretz, then the Torah is not a Torah. Not only that, but the Chazal tell us is Derech Eretz kodma l'Torah. He has to first perfect Derech Eretz and then Torah. Why is this? Someone else says again a simple reason. He says Derech Eretz is the Chochmas Hatachtin. Derech Eretz is the wisdom that a person has to learn because he lives here ala oritz, on the land. Torah, that's Chochmas Elyon. That's the wisdom which comes from another world. If a person didn't live on this land, then he wouldn't have to study Derech Eretz. He wouldn't have to study manners. He wouldn't have to study protocol, or what is proper, what is not proper, and so forth and so on. A malach, an angel, won't have to. But because he's midore mato, he lives here, so he has to learn all of the properness and the mannerisms and the correctness that is necessary for people to know in order to live together in a society. See, all of the demands of society. If he lived somewhere up in the heavens, or if he lived in a cave by himself, he wouldn't have to know it. But since he's a member of the human society, he's a member of civilization, so he's going to have to learn everything that's necessary to be what we would call a civilized human being. So that's Derech Eretz. That's the wisdom of the land. Torah is a wisdom of a higher world that comes into the world. So what must one learn first? How can he expect to have Chochmas Ha'Elyeno if he doesn't have the Chochmas HaTachtein? How can he have the wisdom of the upper worlds if he doesn't have the wisdom of this world? The wisdom of this world is the foundation for it. So therefore, first he must learn Derech Eretz. Then Torah comes. That's why it states Derech Eretz is Kodma L'Teira. This we see also, in the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu created a person. Because when a baby is born, so first he learns, what does he learn first? He learns how to move and how to sit up and how to walk, how to stand, how to walk. He learns how to eat, how to drink. He learns how to communicate with other people. So this is, so first comes the limud, the study of Derech Eretz. Then comes the study of higher wisdoms. So that's the next one. That's Derech Eretz. Now we come to the following one, and that is Erech HaPayim. Erech HaPayim means that a person is long-suffering. He's long-suffering. He doesn't get angry. It's a pasuk that states, Tev Erech HaPayim mi gibor u'meishul beruchay melekeit ir. Someone who's long-suffering, who can control his anger, he is greater than a strong man. Someone who can control his spirit, he is greater than he who conquers a city. Now, if a person angers, then this will stop him. This will be a deterrent for his kinyan Torah, for acquisition of Torah. Why? Two reasons. Firstly, when a person angers, this is the opposite of yishuv, this is the opposite of being relaxed, of being at ease. And we said that you can't be kinyan Torah unless you're relaxed and at ease. So this would be the opposite. If Torah will only go in when a person is relaxed and at ease, so if he's angry, then he's not going to be able to understand Torah. That's one reason. But we see more than that. The Gemara brings, in Psochim, the Psamach Gova Medbeis, Omer B'Shimen Lokish, Kol Odim Shekeis, Im Chochem Hu, Chochmose Mistalekes Emenu. Whoever angers, if he's a wise man, then he will lose his wisdom. He will forget his wisdom. So we see not only he can't acquire wisdom, but whatever wisdom he's already acquired, he'll forget. And it brings from Moshe Rabbeinu, the Gimel Mekemus, in three places in the Torah, Moshe became angry. Moshe was the greatest prophet, the giver of Torah. Three places he became angry. In each of those three places, Nisamu Mimen Vahalocha, he forgot the halocha. When they asked him a question, he wasn't able to answer. He had to come on to other means to answer it. So we see even by Moshe, where three places he became angry, and each time he forgot the halocha. We see that anger is totally contrary. Anger is totally contrary to Torah. Now why is it? Why is anger totally contrary to Torah? So the Maral writes there are two reasons. One reason is, what is anger? Anger is a radical change of temperament. A person has a violent reaction. Incidentally, this radical change of temperament, this violent reaction, is not only emotionally, but it's physically also. The Torah always tells us that the Torah illustrates someone who's angry, b'charein af. Ruach HaPecho. Ruach HaPecho means that smoke and fire is coming out of his nostrils. So why? So the Chazal say, because when a person becomes angry, he starts to breathe. All of a sudden, you're feeling yourself. See? Your heart starts beating faster, blood pressure goes up, you start to, this constriction, you start to breathe heavily. This is not only emotionally, the whole body is tied together, both mentally, emotionally, physically, and spiritually. It's all tied together. It's a synthesis. Actually, medicine is finding out more all of the time what this does to the body. The person angers. This causes enormous chemical changes in the body. All emotions cause enormous chemical changes in the body. But they're finding out that there are chemical changes that are poisonous to the body, that comes from anger. At any rate, it's a radical change of temperament. It's a violent reaction. This is what anger is. So this is what we would call a netiya, a leaning to an extreme. A person becomes an extreme. His temperament is not center, but he becomes extreme. Now, this itself is contrary to Torah, because Torah is mamutza. It states that Torah is exactly in the middle. It doesn't lean to the right and doesn't lean to the left. It states Pekudei Hashem Yishorim Mesam Chelev. The mitzvahs of the Torah are exactly straight, not to the right, not to the left. Mesam Chelev, therefore, they bring joy to the person. Something that's crooked brings anger and upsets a person. Something that's perfectly straight brings joy to a person. Anger is a leaning to an extreme. So therefore it's contrary to the nature of Torah. If a person wants Torah, he has to identify himself with Torah. He has to make himself similar to Torah. And a person who's always becoming angry, then he's leaning to an extreme, and the Torah is perfectly straight and center. This is one reason. The second reason is anger is not an intellectual emotion. It's not an intellectual exercise. Anger is an emotional and physical exercise. What happens when a person angers? His emotions take over. This is what's happening. Sometimes he becomes so violent where physically he'll do something. He'll lose control of himself, and physically he'll go break something. So his emotions and his body takes over. But his head is not. This is why we call someone says that he got angry, he says he lost his head. I lost my head. Doesn't mean lost his head, it's exactly what happened. That the emotions have taken over. So no longer is the Odem HaSichli. Kodesh Baruch Hu created man where he had a crown, and that crown was his intellect and his intelligence. Brain, that is supposed to be the master of the person. And when he loses his temper, he loses his head. And for that instant, the emotions and the body have taken over. They have become the master. Now this is just contrary to Torah, because Torah is sikhli. Torah is not emotional and is not physical. Torah is spiritual. Torah identifies with the intellectual, spiritual part of the person. It's bilti gashmi. It's something above the physical world. So therefore a person cannot come to Torah if he's ruled by his emotions or by his body and not by his mind. But he has to be ruled by his mind. Therefore, kol hakeis chokhma mistalekes imen. A person becomes angry and it's an upheaval where his emotions take over, he'll forget Torah. And so we have to be very careful. He falls. He falls from the spiritual world into the physical world when he becomes angry. This is very dangerous, and therefore a person has to be very careful. This is also why it states that the Gemara asks on. There were two great individuals, Hillel and Shammai, both very great, very wise, and each of them had many, many great talmidim. And a Bas Kol, a voice from, and they had many, many disagreements in halacha. And a Bas Kol, a voice of heaven, came and said that the halacha is like Beis Hillel. We must follow what Beis Hillel says. Moses says, why? So the Gemara brings Shehem Nochin, because they were of good temperament. They were easygoing. They were relaxed. They went to the extreme, and they never became angry. This is why they were able to bring out the perfection of Torah, because that's what Torah is. Torah is not to the right or to the left, but right in the middle. And they were able to bring out the perfection of it. And therefore, Loma nikvu halocha ki Beis Hillel. Why was the halocha established like Beis Hillel? They were of good temperament, of relaxed temperament. They did not anger. The next attribute that's mentioned is Lev Tov. Lev Tov is a good heart. Why does a person have to have a good heart to acquire Torah? What does that have to do with the learning of Torah? A good heart, good means chesed. Chesed is this chasidim acherim. Good means to do good for others. The ultimate of good is when you do good for others with no ulterior motive, only because you want to do good for others. You meet, maybe just open the window or two. You meet, not always, but you meet people who want to do good for others because they enjoy doing good. Meet people like that. They're always doing good for others, always trying to do good for others because they enjoy doing good. It's their enjoyment. They like to give gifts to other people. They enjoy it. Okay. Many people give gifts because it's an obligation, or the person, look, he needs it. It's a rachmonish. See? But there are other people who enjoy giving gifts to people. They enjoy giving a lot of money away. They enjoy helping others. They look for opportunities. Most Jews, if the opportunity comes their way to help someone, they'll help them. But they don't look for opportunities. They're very happy if it's not necessary. Because other people are sad. It bothers them. If they don't have the opportunity, it bothers them. This is the ultimate of Gemilas Chesed, the Chazal tell us. And this, the pillar of this was Avraham Avinu. That's why Avraham, it's not when someone came to his house and needed a place to eat and sleep, he took care of him. If nobody came, he was very upset. That's what the Chazal tell us. The sages tell us in Avraham. Nobody came, he was sick. Because he had, and why is this? So the Maral explains, this is a sign that the person has so much goodness in him that he has to give it to others. This would be like you take a cow that has so much milk in her that she has to give it. Otherwise it's sar. See? It's the same thing. You meet these rare individuals that have so much goodness in them that they have to find someone to give it to. Otherwise, they become sad. They become upset. This is what it means, tov. See? Where the goodness is so much in the person that it flows over to, it has to flow over to others. And this is what it means, lev tov. This is one of the highest attributes that you can find in a person. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it says he's Tov. Tov Hashem Lakol. You would say that HaKadosh Baruch Hu should take care of those. He should give food to those that keep his Torah, that keep his mitzvahs. Look, to the nations of the world he gave mitzvahs also. Those who keep mitzvahs he should be good to. The others not. He should cut off panos. Tev Hashem Lakol. We're making Moslem Lechol B'Yosef. He gives to everyone because he's good. The word Tov is used very carefully in the Torah, very carefully. And where it's used, it means just that. The Torah is called Tov. Kodesh Baruch Hu said, Ki lekach Tov nasati lachem. There's no wisdom in the world which he called Tov. The Torah he called Tov. He said, Lekach Tov nasati lachem. Teirasi al tazebu. I'm giving you something which is good, and do not forsake it. And it states on the Torah, Tchilase gemilas chasodim, v'seifek gemilas chasodim. The Torah starts out with an act of chesed. It starts telling how HaKadosh Baruch Hu took care of Adam and Chava. Even though they sinned, he took care of them. And he made clothing for them. V'seifek gemilas chasodim, but it ends with an act of chesed. That he himself, the Almighty himself, went and buried Moshe Rabbeinu. Why does it begin and end? Leimer shekula chesed, because the whole Torah is a Torah's chesed. It's a Torah of goodness. This is the essence of the Torah. Now, as mentioned, a person wants to acquire Torah. He's going to have to be able to identify with Torah. Otherwise, the Torah won't come close to him. He won't be able to come close to the Torah. So it's not merely an intellectual exercise of the studying of Torah. Now, he's going to have to be able to associate and identify himself with Torah. So he's going to have to be good. If a person has no goodness in himself, he won't come close to Torah. By Moshe it states he was Tov. See? When they saw Moshe was born and they looked at him, they said, Tov. This is why Moshe was able to go and bring the Torah to the world. And Israel is mentioned too. So at any rate, a person has to have a Leiv Tov. The next one, Emunas Chachomim. Emunas Chachomim means that a person has to have a great faith and trust in the sages. Firstly, this refers to the sages of the Mishnah and of the Talmud. We have to realize that whatever they tell us is truth in the ultimate. Not only whatever they tell us is truth in the ultimate, but every word and every letter is a fire of truth. Rao writes in one place where he's writing letters with some of the secular wise. They used to give him a lot of problems. They used to call him to all types of debates and dialogues. So he writes there, he says, if you would gather together all of the wise men of all of the nations of the world, he says they would not come, all of the wise of the world, he said, it would be keklipas hashum, it would be the thickness of a peel of a garlic. That's how they would compare it to one of our chachomim. This is how he saw it. All of the wise in the world, they wouldn't compare to Ar Chachomim like Klipas Hashum, like the peel of a garlic. This is the amuna, this is the faith and the trust a person has to have in the Chachmei HaTorah if he wants to come to be Zeicher to Torah. If he doesn't have it, then he won't come to be Zeicher to Torah. This refers to the Chachmei HaMishnah and the Chachmei HaGemara. And this refers to the Chachmei of Kol Dor V'Dor, the wise in Torah of every generation. Why is this? Because all of our Torah must come through the Chachomim. This is where our Torah comes from. Meishu Kibul Teirah Misinai U'Masro Li Yeshua. Meishu is the only one who learned Torah directly from Hashem. But otherwise, we learn Torah from Hashem through his Chachomim. So it must all come through his Chachomim. And if we do not have full trust in them and rely on them totally, so then how can we come and be zeicher to their Torah? That's why Emunas Chachomim is a prerequisite. If a person approaches a piece of Gemara or a Mishnah and he says, look, let me hear what they say, and this sounds good and this doesn't sound good, and they're like anyone else. They can make errors. And it doesn't mean necessarily that every word they say is totally true, or every word that they say has so much depth and so forth. If that's the attitude a person approaches to Torah, then he won't be zecher to Torah. Because it has to come through the Chachomim. And if he cannot rely on what they say, then he will be removed from Torah. This is why the Torah itself, Hashem commanded us, le'sosor. We must not turn away from whatever they say. There are many, many things in the Torah, in the learning, that we don't understand. Many statements of the sages that we do not understand. Doesn't say we have to understand everything they say. Their wisdom is so beyond us, it's impossible for us to understand everything they say. So then it doesn't say that we have to understand everything they say. But we have to try to understand whatever they say to our best of ability. We have to realize that whatever they say is full of endless and endless wisdom. And hafeich be hafeich pa, and the more we labor in it, the more we get out of it. That must be the approach. Remember, I had the schus to learn by Rav Gichter, who tells the Rosh Hashiva. And he would always say, the Gemara would say something, Rashi or Tesfus, or Rishon, and it would be very difficult to understand what they're saying. Or it would seem that this is what they're saying, but it didn't sound well. So he used to labor and labor to try to understand it. You have a kasha. So if he would give an answer, but the answer he wasn't totally happy with. So he used to say, many times in Shurim, he would say, the teretz of the kasha, the answer to this question is this, obizol zvisindos is a deichik, but you should know it's a deichik. It's not a good answer. We'll have to suffer with this till we come to a better answer. This was his attitude all the time. He wouldn't say because we have no better answer, so this is the answer. Heaven forbid. He would say, you should know that this is not a perfect answer, this is not a perfect interpretation in what they're saying. But we'll have to suffer with this, because we have no better answer till we come to a better answer. So he'd leave the door open. A month later, 2 months later, years later, he'd come back. This is the answer. See? He would never, because of our inability, try to say that this is what the sages are saying because we don't know better. See? No. He would say, you should know. He could say a whole shir, and everything would be perfect except this. And on this, he could give an answer. He would say, you should know, zols wissen, das ist nicht der richtige Teres, das ist, this is adechik. This is not the real answer. We have to suffer with this until one day we'll find a better answer. And he would keep pursuing and pursuing. This is emunas chachomim. This was a total faith that what the chachomim said were perfect. It's perfect. And anything less than perfect, all right, so we can't come to the perfection at this point. One day maybe we will. See? But unless it's perfect, then that's not what they're saying. That's the most we can hear at this point, but that's not what they're saying. See, this must be the attitude. And the Gemara brings this is why when it comes that if a person, when he goes to learn from someone, he has to have full trust in him. It doesn't say you have to have full trust in who you learn from. It says that the one you learn from, you must have full trust. If there's a person you don't have full trust in, then you must not learn from him. That's what the Gemara says. Imarab deimel amalach Hashem. If the Rav in your eyes is to you like a perfect person, he's like an angel of Hashem, then you must go learn by him. Vimlav, but if not, then you must go look for a different Rebbe. Doesn't say that everyone you go learn from, he has to be like an angel to you. To the contrary, see? If he is, then you must learn from him. If not, then you must look for a different way. To give you one example of the great respect and faith in the Chachomim that the sages had themselves is a Gemara in Ervin from Rebbe Kiva. Rebbe Kiva, before he started to learn, the Gemara brings, he was 40 years old before the Amor Tzoya. He was an ignorant person before he never had learned. Gemara says he hated the sages. He was a person who was very far from learning Torah, and he hated the sages. He felt that the sages had looked down on him and other such people, and he used to say on himself, "Kashisi Amoritz, when I was an ignorant person, I used to say that if a Talmud Chochem would come into my hands, I would bite him like a donkey bites." This is what he used to say. Now, when he was dying, he lived to be 120 years old, so this is 80 years later. When he was dying, he was imprisoned by the Romans, and they, and one of his Talmidim, one of his disciples, every day would bring him water. One day, the Roman guard, who's a Russia wicked person, he decided to have some sport. So he said, "What are you bringing so much water today for?" And he took the water and spilled half out. When the Talmud came to Rebbe Kiva was he was 120 years old, and he was old and frail. And he asked him what happened, so he told him what happened. Because he said, "I'm waiting for you, and my life is dependent on you." So he told him what happened. So he said, "Give me the water so I can wash my hands. Wash Matila Shadayim so I can eat." So the Talmud said, "Rebbe," he says, "there's not enough water to drink. You're going to wash your hands. You don't have to wash your hands today. There's no water. There's just a little there for you to drink. If you won't drink the water, you'll die." So the Bekiva said, "Mutav, it's better that I should die an innocent death than transgress the words of my colleagues." Netilas Yadayim was a takonah from the Chachomim. It was a law that the sages enacted. He says, "Mutav, better I should die an innocent death than transgress the words of my colleagues." This was the great faith that Rebbe Kiva had in the Chachomim. And the Gemara says, if this is how he acted in his old age, and how did he act when he was strong? If this was in the prison, so when he was free. This is one example, and this is why he was able to come to such great heights. States have him is avik bi'afar raglehem, sit in the dust of their feet and drink their words betzome, with thirst. The Gemara says, who Rebbe Kiva? That was Rebbe Kiva. So this is an attitude that a person must have when he approaches Torah, if he wants to gain Torah. The next one is Kabbalas HaYisurim. Kabbalas HaYisurim means to be able to accept with a good heart hardship and difficulties and affliction. Now everyone, there's no one who's excluded from difficulties. No one is excluded from hardship. And no one is excluded from affliction. Like we say in Yiddish, everyone has his pekel. Everyone has his bundle. What one has, the other doesn't have. One difficulty Reuven has, Shimon doesn't have. The difficulty Shimon has, Reuven doesn't have. But everyone has. This is part of the world. But the difference, though, is the attitude, the way people act with these difficulties. Reuven could have very heavy difficulties, and he has a very good attitude towards it. You see some people that whatever they have, it bothers, doesn't bother. Others have difficulties, and they become bitter. They become bitter, the complainers, always griping about it, and they're bitter at people, they're bitter at Hashem, and so forth and so on. The Mishnah tells us that you want to acquire Torah, you have to have a good attitude towards difficulties. A good attitude. Kabbal Yisurin de'ava.
You have to accept the hardships with a love. Not easy. You have to. They say the story once, there was a person, I think they said on a person by the name of Reb Zusha, who was a great Talmud Chochem, but tremendously poor, impoverished, and led a very, very difficult life. Difficult life. And someone once came to the Rebbe, and he told him, you know, I'm having so many difficulties, I don't know if I can carry on. What should I do? So the Rebbe said, go into the Beis HaMedrash and ask for Reb Zusha, and he'll tell you what to do. So he goes into the Beis HaMedrash and he asks for him, and they say, there in the corner, and there's a man who's sitting in the room, singing a beautiful song. Face and eyes are shining. Never saw a more happier person. He's dressed in rags. So he comes and he says, the Rebbe sent me to you because he said, you will tell me how I can manage to go through life with so many difficulties. So Reb Zusha looks at him and he says, I think the Rebbe made a mistake. I'm not the one to tell you that. He says, ich kein mal gehat a schlechte Tag in my ganze Leben. He says, I never had a hard day in my life. So how can I teach you? You must go ask someone who had difficulties. See? So the key is in the attitude. And this takes a great person. Where it says, someone who smeichin b'yisurin, that even though he's afflicted, he remains happy. That even though he has hardships, he has a good attitude. The Gemara says, Chai vorem levorech, kishem shechai vorem levorech ala teiv, ka chai vorem levorech ala ra. That we have to give a Kodesh Baruch Hu a broch on good, and we have to give a Kodesh Baruch Hu a broch on something that to us doesn't seem good. Now, but this is a prerequisite for Torah. Why is it in particular prerequisite for Torah? Because it states in Brochus, Moran Brochus, Nafei Amar Aleph, Gimel Matonis, there were three gifts given to Yisrael. Three special gifts given to Klal Yisrael, Bekulan Al Yidei Yisurin, and all of them through difficulties. One was Torah, one was Eretz Yisrael, and the other is Eilem Habo. Three special gifts given to Klal Yisrael, but each one only with through great hardship. Why is this necessary? Because the Gemara tells us that hardships and difficulties they're memaitin es haguf. They make a person less physical than more spiritual. A person who leads a hard life, this is going to make him into a greater person, a more spiritual person, and not so much a physical person. Mora brings, it says, Omer Esh Lokish. It states bris by melech, and it states bris by yesurin. Says covenant by salt, and it says the word covenant by affliction. So this means that afflictions is like salt. When you put salt on meat, what does it do? It softens it. It brings out the inner qualities of the meat. It sweetens it. Kach yisurin bodem. So is it yisurin in the person. It softens him. It brings out the inner qualities. A person was born with an enormous spirit, an enormous soul, but it was clothed in the body. The heavier that body becomes, so the more it smothers the spirit and smothers the inner qualities. But if that body becomes more forged, it becomes more perfected, then the inner qualities can come out. This is what Yisurin does to a person. And therefore, when you have special gifts that were given to Klal Yisrael that are of a very high level, like Eretz Yisrael, Torah, Olam Habo, the person has to elevate himself to come to it. The only way he can elevate himself to come to it is through hardships and difficulties. That's why if a person wants to come to Torah, he's going to have to be able to be Mekabel Yisud. And now, the final one of the second group of ten, and that's Miut Shino. It states that a person has to minimize sleep. Miut Shino. What does that mean? In general, when a person pursues Torah, so what does he have to do? He's going to has to elevate himself from the physical world to the spiritual world. See, he cannot become overly involved in too much of the physical world. Like later on it says, for example, miutainu, not too many luxuries, and so forth. Because Torah is above this world. Now, shino, sleep, is something which is physical, belongs to the physical world. Why do we say that? Because what happens when a person sleeps? A person sleeps, the mind goes into a state of unconsciousness. See, he loses temporarily his mind, his intellect. This is the opposite of the intellectual, intelligent person. This is why a person, when he dreams, he sees all types of distortions. It's called the Isgabrus Hadimyenes. The imagination and distortions start to run away with it. They start to get out of control. Why? Because the mind is weakened. It's the mind that holds clarity and logic. When a person is sleeping, so the mind goes into a state of unconsciousness. And therefore, distortions and imaginations start to run wild. And this is why it states that sleep, the Gemara tells us, is 1/60th of a person's death. Because when a person sleeps, so temporarily, the soul and the mind is becoming weakened from the body. It's becoming far from the body temporarily. Death is when it departs from the body totally. So sleep is something which belongs to the physical world. Doesn't belong to the spiritual world. And if a person wants Torah, he's going to have to be able to climb up from the physical world towards the spiritual world. But at the same time, we must understand that it states, and that besides also that states for Gisa B'yom V'layla, that a person has to spend all of his time as possible, much time as possible in the pursuit of Torah. But at the same time it states miuchino. Miuchino means that he should not sleep too much. It doesn't say he shouldn't sleep. He's not a malach, he's not an angel. He must sleep. He must sleep sufficient amounts of sleep. The Gemara tells us, it's a medrash. A medrash tells us that when HaKadosh Baruch Hu created sleep, so it was a wonderful blessing, wonderful bracha. The Gemara says, why? Because a person gets tired, he can't learn Torah. He sleeps a little, he wakes up, he can learn Torah. This is a wonderful bracha. And a person must have sufficient amount of sleep. If he doesn't have sufficient amount of sleep, then it becomes self-destructive. He ruins himself, he ruins his body, he ruins his Torah. So that's why it says that he's not supposed to be paidish, he shouldn't separate himself from sleep. But it says miut shino, which means he shouldn't be from the person who is drawn into the luxury of more sleep than is needed by the person. Otherwise he becomes drawn into the physical world. And to acquire Torah he has to be drawn into a higher world, into a spiritual world. So these are the ten. The second ten. Let me just read them over again. And that's Pilpul HaTalmidim. That's the discussions and arguments and debates with disciples. Yishuv. A person must learn under a non-pressurized, relaxed system, situation. Mikra and Mishnah. even though he'll become great in Talmud, he must become great also in Mikra, in the Teirei Shebichsav, and in Mishnah, Derech Eretz. He has to have proper manners and good character, good traits, good personality, which is needed because he's a member of the earthly world, earthly civilization. Er Hapayim. He has to be long-suffering, be able to control his anger. Leiv Tov. He must be good, have a good heart, so this good can pour over into others, because this is the nature of the Torah. Emunas Chachomim. He has to have a total reliance and faith and trust in the Chachomim. Kabbalas HaYisurim. He has to be able to take hardship and difficulties with an attitude of joy. Miuchina, and he has to be a person that doesn't pursue luxuries more than necessary, see, for the person. And the Mishnah later on will itemize, but here it's referring to that of sleep. These are the second 10 of the Memchem Tvorim, the 48 attributes Shatera Nignes Bahem, that the Torah is acquired by. You see, it's not easy to become a Talmud Chochem. It's not easy to gain Keseh Shel Teira, the crown of Torah. The crown of Torah. And we hope that this is something that we will be able to learn from and to incorporate in our everyday lives. Thank you.
The Yeshiva Gedola hopes that you have learned much from the presentation. For further information or to order additional shiurim, please contact the Yeshiva Gedola of Johannesburg. Visit us on the web at www.ygj.co.za or contact us via email at audio@ygj.co.za, via phone at 011-648-7906, via fax at 011-648-0085, and via post at P.O. Box 66226 Broadway 2020, Johannesburg, South Africa.